Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
Nehemiah chapter 6 and 7 is where we are, so if you don't have a Bible, go ahead and grab a Bible and turn there. We're going to be looking at particularly chapter 6 and just make a mention of chapter 7 towards the end. A little show of hands here. How many of you have ever started a project and didn't finish it? Oh, there we go. Okay, we got some honest people. Everybody else, you're winning. You've never started something and not completed it. That's absolutely amazing. How many of you at this current time, wives, shout out right now, call out your husbands on this. How many of you have unfinished projects around the house like this very hour? And like the best thing you could do for Mother's Day is probably do something around the house today. Yes, there's plenty of us that have those around the house. Maybe you've even thought about working out. How many of you ever started a workout program only to fade off once it got to be good enough or just difficult? How many of you have written a budget and not followed it? How many of you started a new job to start strong but only have tailed out over the course of time? The easiest thing to do is to start something. The hardest thing to do is to keep on doing something even when it gets difficult. Thinking this through, I think it also we need to say that it's easy to give in or compromise when you get to a point of good enough. Now, the work is not complete, the vision is not realized, but it's not half bad. That's where the people of God in Nehemiah are in Nehemiah chapter 6. There's no breach in the wall. They've completed this wall around the city. There's some work left to do. Nehemiah says in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1, there's still doors and gates to set up. And so the project's not quite finished. But hey, maybe it's good enough. And with all this opposition that you've seen they've been facing over time, it's gotten hard. It's been difficult. Maybe it's good enough. Maybe we just need to be content with where we are. How many of you have felt that before, even in your walk with Christ, that we get content of where we are, and it's a good thing, but we take that contentment and become complacent in where we are. We're thankful for the progress, but we stop seeking progress, and we don't, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, press on towards the goal and press on towards the prize. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you're there as a mother this morning. You've pressed on, and you're just ready. Like, I think I've done enough. I'm just ready to kind of maybe tap out a little bit, and hopefully can tap out a little bit today. This is where the people of Nehemiah are. The wall is basically done, and you have to think, and you have to know that Nehemiah he's got to be at a breaking point. The Bible doesn't say he's at a breaking point, but he's got to be at a breaking point. All the opposition that has come against the people, so much so, do you remember in earlier chapters, like they're building with swords ready to be drawn. They're working night and day. They're not even really going home to sleep and change clothes. Like they've got to be exhausted. And I would imagine Nehemiah has got to be tired of leading at this point, because he's the leader in this story. He's the one that left the palaces of Persia to come back to Jerusalem to help the people of God rebuild this wall. And you got to think that he's been at a breaking point. And remember last week, he even got the locker room back. Do you remember that? That he lost them from the inside. They were infighting with each other. He lost the locker room, but now they're more unified with ever. So he's been through all these highs and lows. And maybe this is really a question, as Paul tells us in Romans, that these things are written for our instruction. These are lessons we can learn about leadership, but these are lessons that we can learn about following the Lord. All of us can learn from this. And because Charlie and Michael, you'll find out that, baptism is not the finish line. It's the starting line. Now that you're living for Christ and gone public with that, other people around you would tell you, you'll face opposition. It will get difficult, and there will be times where you're ready to give in. Jesus told us that anyone who puts his hand to the plow and turns back isn't fit for the kingdom. In Nehemiah chapter 6, the opposition starts to get personal. It is not just now after the nation of Israel or the project that they're doing, these walls that they are building. The opposition is going to get personal. And so it will for all of us who seek and try to follow the Lord. The opposition will get personal. It will come home, and you will have people that will particularly oppose you, not just the church, but you in particularly. So here's how I want to frame this morning. Here's how I want to frame this morning as we go on of seeing this personal opposition that Nehemiah faces is one of the world's best weapons is counterfeits. We get this in the Garden of Eden, don't we? Even from the first moments where sin entered the world, that Satan offers a counterfeit promise. That did God really say that if you eat of this fruit, you will die? And he says, no, if you eat, your eyes will be enlightened. And so he makes this counterfeit promise, this fake promise, something that looks good for the moment, but is not what the Lord has said, not what the Lord has told him to do. So there's these counterfeits. Have you experienced this before? These fake promises that the world will give you and these fake people that you will come in contact with that will try to stop us from following the Lord. This is what happens to Nehemiah. So that's how we're going to frame it this morning. The first thing that I want you to see is this counterfeit interest that his two opponents that we've heard all throughout the course of this book, this counterfeit interest that they have in Nehemiah. Let's go ahead and take a look. If you have your Bible, Nehemiah 6 verses 1 is where we'll start. 1 through 4, we'll see counterfeit interest. Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors in the gate, so that's what we said a second ago, that's kind of where they are. Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, they seem interested, come, let us meet together in the plain of Ono. If you ever go to the plain of Ono, watch out. That should be something going on right there. Oh no, what's happening here? That's a joke. But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent to me four times in this way. And I answered them in the same manner. So you see the strategy that's going on here as Sanballat and Tobiah, they call now Nehemiah. They've opposed them the whole time. And now they say, come down, let's have a conference. Let's meet halfway and maybe we can work together. Like maybe we can join teams, because what they're seeing at this point is that even though the people of God are not the number they used to be, God is doing something in their midst. And they realize that this work will be accomplished with the hand of the Lord. And there's nothing they can do to stop it, but they're going to try. And so they call Nehemiah down, perhaps to strategize with him and to see what's going on, seeing that, you know, maybe if we can't beat them, we can join them. Maybe. That's what they're thinking. They show some sort of measure of interest. And so they call for a meeting and they offer, you know, these peace talks, a sort of truth to stop what you're doing and let's see how we can work together. Now, to be sure, there are times where the people of God can work with government officials in the land. We've seen that in our own region with hurricane disasters and things like that, that the people of God can work together and partner together with people outside the people of God. So there's times for that. And there are times where the church can work with city officials to work towards a common good, for sure. But Nehemiah has some discernment and he knows what's up. And he also knows this. Notice what else we see about this counterfeit interest, that these folks call for a meeting. They show some sort of interest, but did you notice how persistent they were? Did you notice that? Four times the Bible says they called to Nehemiah with the same thing. And so I want you to know this morning. When you're following the Lord, you can expect distractions. And don't be surprised when those distractions are a bit nagging. They don't seem to go away. The same thing you've struggled with, the same maybe person you struggle with, or same thing you've struggled with over, it just seems to keep coming back. Have you had those things nag you before? Trying to get you away from following the Lord. Here's how Nehemiah responds. So they are persistent. Sin will be persistent. People that are opposed to you will be persistent. They will be a bit nagging. But sometimes the best thing you can do is say nothing. Maybe you've been in situations like this before. I know I've been in situations like before. A meeting won't help because the motives are no good. It's not that they don't want these people to come to enjoy the glories of the Lord. It's that at this point, they're outright opposing them. Wisdom knows that it won't end well and won't accomplish anything. So Nehemiah says, I'm not going. It's not going to accomplish anything. Your motives are bad. You don't want to really talk about this. They just wanted to argue and intimidate. They weren't interested in listening and learning and hearing about the God of glory. They didn't want any of that. But they're persistent. And so was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was resolute. Do you notice what he says here? He says, I'm not going to meet. Notice what Nehemiah says in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. So they're persistent. Listen to what Nehemiah says. I think we have something to learn here when there's counterfeit interest or just things that counterfeit interests that are pulling us away from pressing on and following the Lord. Does anybody have something pulling on them right now that is keeping you from following the Lord? It could be schedule-wise. It could be sin. I don't know what it is. But listen to what he says. He's resolute. He says, I'm doing a great work. Do you see it in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3? He says, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? In other words, I'm very content of where we are in this progress, but I'm not complacent. There's still more work left to do. So I am not going to waste my time and come to you. I know that it will not end well. I know that your motives are bad. Why should I stop working on things that matter, the things that the Lord has called me to do? And he has a decision to make, and he makes that decision. Do you continue the work the Lord has called you to do? I guess he could have thrown the flat, look, God, I'm just tired of all the opposition. Okay, well, I'll meet with you. Just leave me alone. He could have walked away. He could have given up. There's no doubt at this point, as I said earlier, that Nehemiah is worn physically, emotionally, maybe even spiritually. It's been a whirlwind of a year. Great success has been witnessed, and so have great trials. He has come out of weathering so many storms, but he keeps pressing on. And no matter what the people might say to him, no matter how they might overwhelm him, he keeps pressing on. He continues to work with the strength the Lord provides, no matter how many counterfeit interests he runs into. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only are there going to be counterfeit interests pulling you away from following the Lord and not following what he has you to do, notice how this argument goes. And these things are written for our encouragement and our instruction. So we want to, God, how are you going to instruct me here? Not only are there counterfeit interests, but there's counterfeit news. There's fake news. Have you ever seen news manipulated for someone else's purposes? Like, are there any examples of that you can possibly think in your mind how news has been manipulated for your own purposes and for your own narrative to get your own? Have you ever seen that? I don't know if you've ever seen that, but maybe you have. There's nothing new under the sun. Verse 5. Fake news. Counterfeit news. In the same way, Sanballat for the fifth time. So after four times, he's going in for the fifth time. I'm going to try something else. I'm going to try something else. The fifth time sent to a servant to me with an open letter in his hand and said, it is written, it was written. Here's what it says in verse 6. Do you see it? It's reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it. So, right, people are saying, people are talking, people are saying things. Even Geshem is. They're all talking that you and the Jews intend to rebel. And that is why you're building the wall. And according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you also have set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem that there is a king in Judah. And now the king will hear of these reports. So now come, let us counsel together. So do you see the tactics they take? Right? And so if he won't come, maybe we can bait him into it. So you do see it getting personal here. You see this, right? That is starting to get personal. They create a crisis with fake news that Nehemiah, you're saying, even the prophets are saying. Now, there's some truth to this because remember, prophets are prophesying during this time. You have the restoration prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, that are talking during this time. And so they're proclaiming this king that will come, the Messiah will come. Yes, but Nehemiah is not claiming any of this. And so they have this fake news. They create a crisis with this fake news. Do you know what people are saying about you? It's really getting personal now. They're now questioning his motives, and they're now questioning his character. seeing if they can get him to bite. It happened to Jesus. Jesus was said to be demonic, a false teacher, and they lied about him. Maybe they can destroy him with lies. Wrong people like to destroy people with lies. Guilty accuse the innocent. And so they try to intimidate him. The king's going to hear about this. And if the king hears about this, guess what's going to happen then? The king is going to try to take you out. So not only are they creating this crisis, but Nehemiah, this may cost you your life and your position and all of this wall that you're working so hard to. We're about to undermine that. So you better come and talk to us. This is intimidation. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that this sometimes comes from the outside, but don't overlook the great accuser of the brethren, Satan himself, that part of his job is to accuse you and to tell you things that are not true. To even tell those that are in Christ that you are not loved, that you are not cared for, you will never press on, that you're too much of a mess, that you're just too much for Jesus. This is a tactic that comes from the outside, but maybe it also comes as the evil one seeks to intimidate you. Nehemiah tells us how to respond. Do you see what he says? Then I sent to him, look at verse 8. And brothers and sisters, I encourage you to do the same thing. The world encourages you. Satan himself encourages you, discourages you. No such thing as you say have been done. For you're inventing them in your own mind. When Satan tells you that you're struck down, tell him that you are not destroyed. When Satan tells you that you should despair, tell him that Christ has died for you. When Satan tells you that your sin is too much, tell him that God's grace is sufficient for you. When Satan tells you the lies, tell him the truth, that you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you and has called you according to his purpose. Tell him the truth. Tell him the truth and silence the lies. They sought to intimidate. They sought this fake news crisis, but Nehemiah tells them the truth. You are inventing them in your own mind. This is not true. Verse 9, all you want to do is frighten us, thinking that we will stop this work and it will not be done. So Christian, this means for you, as you press on to the goal that is before you, as you press on to the prize and the lies of the evil one or the lies of the world try to stop you and tell you that you will not complete the work, tell them that he who began a good work in me will complete it. The same grace that saved me is the same grace that will bring me all the way home. The death-conquering Savior will not be stopped. Because all even death will do, even if they take me out, that will just bring me closer and closer into the presence of the Lord. You cannot stop this. No counterfeit news or fake news can stop this. Nehemiah does the same thing. Look what he said. He prays again. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Now, the situation gets a little more sticky. They call for a meeting, counterfeit meeting. He doesn't do it. Fake news, don't buy it. That's not the truth. It's a little more sticky. Now we get some counterfeit solutions from some counterfeit people. We meet a prophet, a supposed prophet named Shemaiah, and it gets a little more tricky. So Nehemiah goes into the house of Shemaiah. He was confined to his home. The Bible doesn't tell us why this prophet was confined. Perhaps, as we'll go on to see, this guy was like a snake in the grass. He was an absolute snake in the grass. And so maybe he is putting himself in this solitary confinement in his home, saying perhaps that he too is hiding from the opposition of the time, so his life is at risk, just like Nehemiah's life is at risk or something. He's probably trying to manipulate the situation. So we meet Shemaiah. He appears to be helpful. Nehemiah goes to him and he says, look, let's meet together within the temple. Look at what he says in verse 10. They're coming to kill you, and they're coming to kill you by night. So this supposed prophet, Shemaiah, so understand how complicated this is getting. Now we're under religious pretense, right? This is a prophet. Surely he has my interest at heart. You know, the Lord told us in 1 John chapter 4, 1, to test the spirits and to see if they are from the Lord. And Nehemiah is going to do that. And so Shemaiah tells Nehemiah that there's this prophet, this plot to kill him, and he offers a solution. Like, hey, Nehemiah, here's what you need to do. You need to run, and you need to go hide in the temple. And so it's at that point that Nehemiah begins to realize maybe this guy is a snake in the grass. Maybe this interest is not legit. So listen to what Nehemiah says. Nehemiah is discerning. But I said, should a man as I go run away? So understand what Nehemiah is doing. Like, as a leader, should I abandon my post? Should I abandon ship? If they're about to attack the people of God, and I am the governor, I am the leader, and I'm going to abandon ship, do I need to abandon at this point? I can't do that. Like, morally, that's not what the Lord has called me to do. And so Nehemiah begins to understand here, he's getting some discernment here, like this guy is not after my best interest. This is a religious huckster seeking to do something. And have you ever met a religious huckster before? They can be very confusing. He offers the solution. Here's, we should hide in the temple. And so now Nehemiah knows that this counterfeit person is offering this counterfeit solution, even if it's in the name of prophecy, that the Lord will never command me to do what is opposed to his word. No one can go into the holy place of the temple and live. Nehemiah is not a high priest. He's not of the priestly line. If he goes into the temple and hide, not only is he abandoning post, but now he's going into the place the Lord has forbade him to go. And so the Lord might take him out in that place. At the very least, the people of God will stop respecting him and might kill him themselves. He's setting them up in the name of the Lord. Go into the temple and hide. But Nehemiah knows, I will not abandon my position. And I know in discernment, understand this, all of us young people understand this, that God will never command you to do something that he outright opposes in his word. Nehemiah had discernment to know, and he was discerning enough to know the word of the Lord, and what a true prophet was suggesting was not true. There's no shortcuts to obedience, that we have to stay alert with wisdom and discernment. So again, can you guess what Nehemiah does? He presses on and he prays again. Verse 14, he prays again. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, oh my God, according to these things that they did. And also the prophetess was with them, Nodiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. So let's start putting all this together. So you understand that as you seek to press on and follow the Lord, you'll encounter all of these things, this fake interest, fake people with fake solutions and fake news. There'll be lies about you from the outside, maybe even from the evil one himself, especially from the evil one himself. But let's make a run in the time we have left to capture what this chapter is giving us, some principles here. Let's try to put all of this together. The first thing that I want you to see, that through trials and discouragement, that's what's happening here. Through trials and discouragement, don't let anxiety get a foothold. Don't let cynicism get a foothold. Don't let the lies get a foothold. Through trials and discouragement, you will walk through trials and discouragement as you follow the Lord and seek to do what he's called you to do. Through trials and discouragement, by the power of the real God, by the power of the real God, do you notice what Nehemiah does? Let me point this out to you. Nehemiah 6:9. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Listen to what he says as the wall is finished, as he walks through these real trials and discouragements. How is all of this being brought about? It's by the power of God that they finished the walls. For, chapter 6, verse 16, the enemies heard it. All the nations around us were afraid. They were greatly, they fell greatly in their own esteem. They perceived that this work had been accomplished. How? With the help of our God. Through trials and discouragement, if you are in Christ, you have the power of the living God, the true God, the living God, the creator of the universe, the one who is who doesn't sleep or slumber, who is holding you together and this whole world together at this very hour. He holds you in the palm of his hand. He's got you. So through trials and real discouragement, as Nehemiah points out to us, as he prays and as he proclaims at the end of this, this has all happened with the help, with the power of our God. Through real trials and discouragement, by the power of God, real progress is being made. And maybe you need to hear that this morning, especially I bet mothers need to hear that, like you're doing something. Someone was so kind to me this morning to encourage me this morning that, I love what I'm seeing in your kids. So, like, something is happening. Progress is being made. Something is happening there. You need to hear that this morning through real trials and discouragement. It's the power of God in us. Real progress is being made. You see that in Nehemiah 6, that the wall was finished through all of that by the power of God, by the power of God. He will bring you all the way home. He will accomplish his purposes in and through you. So through real trials and discouragements, by the power of the real God, real progress is being made among real people. Nehemiah chapter 7, I won't say a whole lot about it, but read of 42,000 plus people who were there with Nehemiah. Nehemiah wasn't going at this alone. And you'll notice when we go to the Lord's Supper here in a moment that you'll see other people taking that supper, and you will look around. You can look around right now that say, when I go through real trials and discouragement, when I'm walking hoping that progress is happening, I know that I'm not going after it alone. Some 42, it wasn't what they once were. They were a million plus before captivity. But God still had a remnant. He still had people surrounding them. Through real trials and discouragements, by the power of the real God, real progress is meeting made with real people surrounding you by God's real grace. We would be remiss to not end this by pointing out to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because the call here is not to press on and somehow earn favor with the Lord, but this is the Lord working among us, in and through us, through real trials and discouragement, and it's all by his grace. There is strength for the weak. This is one of the main pictures of Nehemiah. As I said a second ago, this nation was a million plus before, and now they've dwindled down to just a little remnant. The nation surrounded them, even Tobiah and his whole crew and Sanballat and his, like, by all accounts, they are stronger. The nation of Israel is weak. The city is destroyed. Their success was not in power or numbers, but in the power of God at work among them. All of this has been done with the help of our God. When they are weak, when you are weak, Christian, that's when the power of God is made perfect. His grace is sufficient for you. And so maybe you're feeling weak this morning. I just can't press on. Well, you are in an excellent position for God to show his power through you. For when we are weak, then he is strong. There is grace all around. It's grace all the way down. So maybe this morning you feel a bit compromised. You're buying the counterfeits right now. Like these counterfeit interests, counterfeit, like you're believing them. You're pressing on. You're not pressing on as you should. His grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. Because we need to understand this morning that our performance is not the grounds of our salvation. The performance of Jesus is the grounds of your salvation. Trusting in his work is your grounds of salvation, your grounds of hope, and your grounds of pressing on. And so where are you this morning with pressing on? May I submit to you the good news of Jesus Christ, who has come to us not to destroy us or manipulate us or offer some sort of counterfeit, but he's come to us to give us true food, to give us true drink, to give us himself. Not to rob us of life, but to bring us into his kingdom and give us life abundantly. May I submit to you this morning that the world will try to manipulate you and offer you counterfeits and try to rob your joy and try to keep you from following the Lord. May I submit to you this morning the power of Jesus Christ to save you and to carry you all the way home. This is who our Christ is. He's said it last week. He's the better Nehemiah, right? Nehemiah left the palaces of Persia to come to the decimated city of God to lead the people in building the wall and gathering the people of God so they can worship God as they ought. Is that not what our Christ has done for us? He has left the throne of glory to come down to a cradle in the dirt to live life among us, to die the death that we deserved, and then been raised up victoriously. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and he will come again. And so we have this Christ who loves us, who left the throne of glory in order to make something out of the ruin, to take the ruin of your life, to take the destruction of your life, and to make it a beautiful thing as he builds not a physical wall or physical temple, but the Bible describes as you as individuals are stones being built upon one another that we together might worship the Lord as we ought and live life as we ought, all for his glory. Jesus comes to restore the rebel. He comes to shower his grace upon us, and by his power, we will press on. Let's go ahead and pray.